Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, December 7th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the second Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent greetings to you. I pray that the season so far is beginning to speak to your heart, perhaps slow your pace, calling you to pay attention to the things that are good and true and pure and worthy and lovely. A time in the midst of the busyness of the holiday season to draw a bit closer to God, to the stories of our faith, to the disciplines of prayer. And so I'm glad you're here. And let's begin together as is our custom and practice. Let's begin in a spirit of thanksgiving by taking in a big, deep breath. The breath of life. A gift from God. As you take in that breath and you hold it, don't just hold it, savor it. It's a delight. It's life itself. And let it go. And take in another one. Receive yet another gift. And as you breathe, I want you to call to mind the people, places, situations, opportunities that light you up inside, that fill you with joy. And as you visualize the faces of people you love, places that you feel most at home and most at peace, things that you might be anticipating with great joy, give thanks to God for all of it. Perhaps put your arms out wide, turn your face toward the sky. Give thanks to God in this posture and in this spirit. Let's begin together in worship.
Advent Candle Lighting, Week 2, the Candle of Peace. Today we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of peace. We remember God's promise of a Savior who will bring peace to the nations and harmony to all creation. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. Christ comes to bring peace to our hearts and to the world. We wait for the Prince of Peace. God of peace, quiet our hearts and still our fears as we prepare for the coming of Christ. Make us instruments of your peace, bringing comfort to the hurting and hope to the weary. Through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. Here at the beginning of this season of Advent, where you call us to pay special attention to who you are and how you are moving in the world, we ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that you'd soften our hearts, that you'd save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly receive the gift of this good word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are together on the second Sunday in the season of Advent, on what is a cold and gray and rainy day here on my back porch. I hope the sound of the rain isn't too distracting. And what I'd like to do is just offer a brief reflection on this text from Isaiah. A text that, as I read it on a gray and rainy day, brings encouragement. Because it can be very easy for us on a gray and rainy day, or when we scan the headlines or read what comes into our email or however it is we get the news of the world, it can be easy for us to fall into to despair, to begin to lose hope, to wonder if joy and peace and hope and love, the themes of Advent, are they still possible? Is it possible that we could really have peace on earth and goodwill to men? One of the many joys of Scripture, of spending time in the biblical stories, is that we can find kinship there. We can look back at how people made it through difficult situations and the work of the prophets and the work of ordinary people to keep hope alive, to maintain the covenant promises of God. That's what Isaiah is offering to the people there and then. These are a people who have lost everything. Their society has collapsed. It's been captured by the Babylonians. everything that they know and love, the things that orient their lives, temple life and social life, it appears to be gone forever. The promise that started so long ago for them, on the day when the prophet Samuel made his way to Bethlehem and met there a man named Jesse who had several sons. And among those sons, God said, among them will be the next king of Israel, and he will be a mighty king. And one by one, Samuel evaluates the boys, and he sees some that really look like king material. They're tall and strong. And God says to Samuel, don't judge by appearances. And finally, it's the little guy out in the field. It's David, the ruddy-cheeked kid. He's the one. And as that story of David's life takes flight, there's moments of brilliance, and it comes to its peak when the kingdom is united. And it seems like Israel's unstoppable, but human frailty and corruption bring demise. And it doesn't get better after David. In fact, the descendants, they have their moments, but largely it's the story of sin and human failure to the point where we encounter Isaiah and the prophecy that he has for the people. But he brings them hope that this family tree, Jesse's family tree, while it appears to have been cut off to a stump and looks to be that it will be lifeless and produce nothing, something is coming. And ours is to patiently and faithfully wait, to continue to abide by the guidance of God, to continue to look back at the life of Samuel, look back at the birth of Samuel, look at his mother's faithfulness. Look at the ways that every time it seemed like the promises of God, this covenant promise, looked like it was going to be lost forever. And then, new life, new hope, the birth of a baby, a change in circumstances, a way made where it seemed like there would be no way. If they were going to survive in exile, it would be by faith and a promised hope. And to hang on to that hope with both hands. And Isaiah casts such a poetic vision. But it's not just like saccharine poetry. It's the kind of thing that only God could imagine. The kind of thing that seems impossible in practical reality, but from the mind and the heart and the hands of God Almighty. We can hear words like this, and let me just read a bit from it. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what he hears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. This shoot that is coming, this new king that is promised by God, will not be like the kings that came before him. He will not be self-righteous. His righteousness will be godly. The words of his mouth will change the world. When this king speaks and you listen to what he says and do what he says, things change. He continues on with the vision. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. And there's images there that in our time and place maybe don't make a lot of sense because we don't live in an agrarian, at least where I live, we're not in an agrarian society. But to think of a promise that is being made in the midst of hardship and heartache and hopelessness, that there is a time when predatory instincts will cease, when animals and humankind will no longer think of themselves as in constant competition with one another, that in every act of loving kindness, good things happen, that the good is possible. This green shoot that Isaiah promises to the folks of his time is the same green shoot that we are promised as we're in this in-between season, as we look back on the birth and the life of Jesus. And now, in the here and now, look toward his return. The return of the King who will put things right, who will bring new hope. As we are steeped in violence, or as people get broken on the wheels of daily living, we're given hope. And that hope is not something that we sit idly by, that we passively wait for. It's a choosing. Advent invites us to practice this imagined future, where we see stumps, where we see dead ends, failures, or endings. Isaiah encourages us that God sees the soil of new beginnings, where we might see endless cycles of violence and polarization, God plants seeds of peace. And where we see reason to despair, God speaks promises that dare us to believe again. Isaiah's vision is not simply about the birth of Jesus long ago. It's about the continued coming of Christ in the here and now, calling us to be peacemakers and justice seekers and hope bearers, calling us to do what he says. As we remember during our time of Eucharist, that in his absence we are to gather together and break the bread and pour the cup and offer the prayers. And when we do so, he is with us. And so, perhaps the question for this second Sunday of Advent is simple, but it's challenging. Where is God inviting us to notice the stump of Jesse? Where are we called to be looking for the green shoot, the new thing? Maybe in our families? Maybe there's a family situation going on that feels irreconcilable. Maybe that's the place. Or maybe somewhere in your community, in your school, at work, where the division runs deep. Is there an opportunity there? Something that can be nurtured, a conversation that can be had that allows that new life to spring up. And whether it's in your heart or somewhere in the world, this peaceable kingdom, this non-predatory world of mutual blessing, it's breaking in. And as we pray and as we remember our stories, remember our ancient biblical stories, and we pull them into the current moment, apply them to our hearts like a balm, then Isaiah can remind us that God's future is not fragile, and God's promises are not weak, they're not faint, that there's new life. And it's breaking in right now, even in places that we thought were dead. Messiah has come, and he is coming still. So today, sometime today, and maybe again tomorrow, or when you're feeling shaky, challenge yourself to be bold in hope. And when we do, we prepare the way of the Lord by living intentionally as God's people. And we believe that hope and peace and love and joy are possible, even in places that we think we're cut off and dead forever. We're called to trust in that God, our God, who brings shoots out of dead stumps. There's tremendous good news in this time. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray here in this season of Advent, God. Open our eyes. Help us to see the new life and the new hope, the new peace, the love and the joy that is breaking through. Help us to pause and pay attention and to look around and where we can nurture this new growth, God. Give us the strength and the faith to do so. And the courage to invite others alongside. We confess, oh God, that we often miss those opportunities because we're distracted, because of our human failing and frailty, because of our sin. Sometimes we close our eyes to the trouble around us. Sometimes we're impulsive in our action, and sometimes we're apathetic. And sometimes, God, we say things that are hurtful. We can't take them back. And there are times when we should speak and we don't. You know all of these things about us. And so we humbly come to claim the promise of our faith that if we're honest with you, if we come to you with open hands and turned out pockets, or as the scriptures say, with broken spirits and contrite hearts, you don't despise us, you love us and you forgive us. And we pray, God, to claim that promise right now. We come seeking your healing and forgiveness. So we claim the assurance of our faith that indeed we are forgiven. And in celebration of that forgiveness, oh God, we ask for your help. We ask that you would intervene in the here and now. God, we pray for people in positions of power and influence. We pray, O God, that you would help them to see the green shoots, that they would use their positions for your good and according to your will. And we pray for people who don't feel as if they have much power or influence. Show them, O God. Strengthen their spirits and their faith. All of us. The friends and the neighbors, the folks we see in the store, in traffic, or in the office. Help us to find this new hope. Help us to find a peace in our hearts so that we could spread love and bring joy to the world. And then there are the prayers that we hold close to our hearts. God, you know these prayers. The joys and the concerns, the things that we worry about or the things where we wait eagerly with anticipation, you know these things. So we take a moment in this prayer, dear God, to make quiet space, to share these prayers with you, and to listen for your voice. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to practice these gifts in our daily living. And we celebrate a gift that you gave us a long time ago, a prayer. A prayer that we call by your name. We pray you'll hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with eyes wide open, with ears tuned in, with softened hearts and excited imaginations, that God is doing something right here and right now, that hope and peace are breaking in this very moment, a gift from our good God. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.